this week's overseas correspondent, Shobha Narayan, on the line from Bangalore, India. Kia ora, Shobha.
Kia ora, Brian. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to have you back on again. Now, last time we spoke, India didn't seem to be doing too badly in terms of the pandemic. What's happened since then?
Since then, unfortunately, our numbers have gone up and people are talking about moving to New Zealand.
Really?
But all jest aside, I think India is not in as good a position as it was. We have a lockdown in place in Bangalore right now, in the sense that people have been encouraged not to leave their homes on Sunday, and a curfew after 8 p.m. because the number of cases have risen, and more public figures, including my state's chief minister and other ministers in the government, have tweeted that they, one of their security staff or their gardeners in another case, have contracted the disease and therefore they are in quarantine. So it's not as good as it was last time we spoke.
Are the number of cases rising exponentially? Are the numbers increasing? Is the rate of increase getting increasing? That's what I'm saying there.
Yeah, yes. India has not crested. So, yes, the number of cases is increasing every day. So, I think the difficult thing in India is that it's hard to, because of the density of population, it's hard to practice social isolation in the way that it perhaps would be possible in other countries. And because of the wide spectrum of understanding, there's a lot of misunderstanding about the disease. So people are wearing masks on the street, but at the same time, people are going to markets as well, so where they are jostling with each other. So that is the challenge for India, is how does a large, densely populated country, which is extremely heterogeneous in terms of how they process knowledge, how do you get everyone on the same page? So that is, so in Mumbai, for example, the COVID positive rate is 19%. Again, the numbers keep changing, but it is in the state of Maharashtra, which is the capital of which is Mumbai, 19% tested COVID positive, which is an alarmingly high number. And in the city of Mumbai, it was 24% quite recently. So that's a horrifying rate. And in Bangalore, where I am now, it's slightly less. So we are, my daughter, for example, came from the US last week, and she flew from San Francisco to Delhi and from Delhi to Bangalore. And here she had to be in quarantine for a week in hotels that are assigned for this purpose. And she had to stay in her room. And then on the day before she was released, a medical doctor came and performed they did a swab test to say that she was COVID negative, before which she was allowed to go. We brought her home and she is quarantined at home for 1 week. So there is some of that happening. In India, an estimate is there are 750,000 cases.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Around 20,000 deaths. So
yeah. When you look at the graph for India, it actually looks a little bit familiar in terms of a lot of countries where there was a rise. It was a slow start at first, relatively slow increase, and then it begins to rise exponentially. Then the curve is flattened. This happened in many countries. It appears to have happened in India. Unfortunately, also what seems to be happening in a few countries now, particularly maybe after the initial success in slowing down the spread of the disease, but also the pressure for people to go back to work and get back to normal, the number of cases is beginning to rise again, and that seems to be the situation you're at the moment. What is life like for you? How has it affected your life personally, Shoba?
You're exactly right, Brian. That is exactly the situation in India after lockdown. During lockdown, there was this kind of slowing down. And currently, we are all running scared. I think as much as possible, we are staying home. When we go out, as I do to buy coconut water or something down the street, I wear a mask. There are people walking on the streets. There are cars on the streets. Companies that I work with, they are practicing this rotational staff coming into work. And as much as possible, companies have stay at home. They are allowing their staff employees to stay at home. A school that I'm associated with is figuring out how to deal with classes opening up. In India, as you know, the summer holidays are April and May, and then June and July onwards, the school year starts. So many of the schools have not been able to start. And then people are figuring out when can you allow the students to come in. And so it's very, so there's the student population, there's the employee population, there are the elders. My parents and my mother-in-law live in the same building as I do, and they are pretty much stuck to their homes. So in our building, there are 70 flats or apartments, and people walk or jog around the building, but they don't go out. So it's a very constrained existence. People have made their peace with that because of the fear of the virus. We have help coming in. We have housekeeping staff who come in to clean the building. We have a temperature monitor with the security guard in front who takes their temperature. We have an app which tells us who is coming and who is leaving. We sanitize the building as much as possible. And this is pretty much the case with upper middle class housing in India. As far as offices go, they either are practicing staying at home and working or rotational work. It is the poorer population still that is affected the hardest. A woman, my help at home, for example, was saying, please don't let me go off my work because nobody can find jobs anywhere else. There was a bus driver who drives a public bus, and he hung himself on the bus because he thought he tested positive for COVID. And I was asking the people who told me this news, why did he do that? And he said, I was told they're already in dire financial straits and he doesn't have the money to go to the hospital. So these are the kinds of stories you hear, which makes it very hard for people who are in the poorer sections of Indian society.
And are poorer people more likely to get sick and die from COVID-19?
I don't think this disease is a class, at least in India, I don't think it's a class. It discriminates by wealth. For example, I have students who went to school with me. I've already heard of three friends or acquaintances of my age and my socioeconomic class who have succumbed to the disease. Arguably, I'm not hearing about, my spectrum of interaction is limited. So these are anecdotal evidence. This is just anecdotes. I would like to say that, it's not only the poor that are dying. It's now spreading across, like I said, the chief minister of our state and then one of the ministers of the state, they all have been tweeting that, the health minister ironically tested positive. So he was relieved of his duties and then somebody else has taken his place. So Brian, I mean, it affects economically, it affects the poorer people a lot more. And therefore, because they are going out in conditions and they are forced to go out and work, do whatever they need to do. perhaps the chances of contracting this is higher. But in terms of the anecdotal number of deaths that I'm hearing, this virus is not discriminating.
And the health system itself, hospitals, are they coping?
So the reception areas of a hospital that I go to, which is a hospital that is well known, has become a triage zone. And I am told that nurses take rotational shifts. Many of the police inspectors who cart the people back and forth have been tested positive. So what ends up happening in such situations is I think that they are, like everywhere else, they are understaffed and overworked. So the word on the ground is don't go to the hospital if you get the disease. And that's what a lot of people are doing. I mean, the number of people gargling and the number of people who kind of, you know, there are all these herbs that people are inhaling and ingesting. So the hospital situation is dire because three hospitals have been named COVID hospitals by the government, and anyone can go there, particularly if you are poor and cannot afford the sort of name brand hospitals. But even the name brand hospitals, which is the one I was referring to, physicians not showing up to work, nurses not showing up to work, and because they're just exhausted. And then what ends up happening is when you go there, the reception area has become like a sea of patients. So I think the health system is struggling to cope. We have a physician in our building, and he basically told us, try to take care of it at home.
And Shoba, you're still waiting, from the sounds of it, you're still waiting for the monsoon. Still very hot right now,
well,
isn't it?
It's still hot, but the monsoon came right on time in Kerala in June. But some other states have not got it. You're right. I should mention two other stories, Brian, that are in India. One of which is that India has banned Chinese apps, and countless Indians have taken it very seriously. And you can't get TikTok in India, for example. It's banned. Many other Indians are voluntarily deleting other Chinese apps because of the fighting that happened in Ladakh, in the Himalayan mountains, between Indian and Chinese forces. So that was a horrible incident, which ended up with many Indian Indian Army troops dying, as a result of which India imposed this ban, as a result of which many of the popular Chinese apps are not available in India. So that's one fact. The other fact is that the number of parents whose children, educated middle-class to upper-middle-class parents whose children are studying in universities abroad, particularly in the United States, are now kind of trying to figure out what to do in the fall when the universities open, given the situation in America right now. So those are two things that are happening.
Funny you should mention that last thing, because there are some people in New Zealand who would dearly love students in India who were going to go to the States to come here in time for the start of the US academic year. But as you said at the start of this conversation, lots of Indians would like to move to New Zealand. Well, at the moment, we can't cope with the New Zealanders coming back who want to come back, let alone anybody from anywhere else at the moment, Shoba.
Sorry, I missed the last bit, Ryan.
What I was saying is we are struggling just to accommodate all the New Zealanders who want to come home at the moment, let alone anyone from anywhere else maybe coming to study here. But Shoba, thank you very much for joining us, and take care of yourself.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Shoba. That's Shoba Narayan on a Skype line which seemed to stretch, didn't it? They do sometimes.